wellness from Excalibur Dehydrator.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. You're listening to the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report. I am Al Corlin. Our first segment is a remote, as I am up in Vancouver, British Columbia, and my guest, Christian Thorpe, is in New York City. We're going to chat a little bit about what's going on economically and politically in the United States right now. Christian, thanks so much for joining me, man. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. I always love being on your show.
Hey, got a question for you. We have a real hullabaloo going on, so to speak, right now between the Democrats and the Republicans. You know, I think this tax thing is not a problem. I think that's going to go through. But, boy, there are a lot of bills that Harry Reid and Nancy are trying to push through that are they're going to dramatically increase spending, specifically in 2011. And I got to tell you, I don't see how anybody in their right mind, given the economic situation in the United States right now, I don't see how anybody could be for something like that. What are your thoughts?
I couldn't agree with you more. As a matter of fact, you know, people, especially when you reference the tax bill and all the wonderful goodies in there with payroll tax, state tax, all these different things that were in that, I question that also. You know, what I think is quite interesting is when you look at, you know, 10-year interest rates is what I tend to follow. It's been kind of interesting to watch them, as a lot of your listeners might know and heard on, you know, CNBC, Fox News, whatever they watch, is how they've been rising. And, you know, we hear a lot that, well, that's because of what the Fed's doing. That's because of the tax bill going through and all these different things going to help the economy. Well, I kind of take the other side of that. I'm like, well, is it possible that there's concerns over we're just adding more to our debt?
Yeah.
You know, what I thought was very interesting was when the tax agreement was actually initially made, I believe it was last Tuesday, I encourage everyone to take a look and see what happened Wednesday morning with rates and how they jumped. Is that because of, hey, that's going to be, if we leave tax policy exactly the way it is now next year, that somehow the economy is going to get better? Or is that because, there just went $1 trillion onto our deficit? So
yeah.
I couldn't agree with you more.
I don't know. You know, the thing that really amazes me, and I've said this a number of times on the show, is that regardless of how a person feels politically, I mean, whether you are Democrat, Republican, whatever, any rational human being has to admit that these people are very, very bright. Harry Reid, Nancy Pelosi, and all of their colleagues would not have gotten to where they are if they were stupid. And I got to tell you, Christian, this just makes absolutely no economic sense to me. I can see political reasons for continuing to spend money. You want to get people, you know, the obvious reason is you want to get people on your side so they'll vote for you in the future, et cetera, et cetera. All of the old arguments. But for the good of the country, I got to tell you, man, I think it's absolutely ridiculous.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. You know, as you know, at the Adam S. Trading Group, we do a lot of coaching in the way of investing and trading and things like that. So this comes up a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, as you just said, that the politics of it get in the way of the reality. And I hate to be a cynic, but it does seem that it's a matter of no one has the will and it's about getting elected. You know, I saw an interesting Bloomberg poll, and actually I thought every poll I've seen points to the same thing. I thought it was fascinating, and it almost gave me a great chuckle.
Mm-hmm.
When I went down and you saw all these questions asked of the American people about the deficit. And obviously everyone's going thinks we should do something about the deficit.
Right.
But then you go down and you look at questions about would you reduce spending on this? Would you reduce benefits on this? In unanimous agreement, the American people wouldn't agree to cut anything. You know, and so as a politician, you say, well, if I want to get elected and if I want to do this and that and the other, you know, this is what the American people want. So it always comes back to that, do politicians – and or the American people have the will to stop this train wreck from coming. And it doesn't look like we do.
Well, I got to tell you, in the state of Washington right now, I'm pretty focused on the situation here right now because I live in Washington State. And in Washington State, the Democratic governor, Chris Gregoire, has put out a budget that basically is cutting every bit of fat out of the Washington state budget. And you know what? Both Republicans and Democrats are agreeing. She's talking about, I mean, in her proposed budget, they are cutting entitlement programs. They're cutting educational programs. The list goes on and on and on. And her comment was, she said, you know, it's almost immoral. My budget, my proposed budget is almost immoral. But she said, what are you going to do when you simply don't have the money? Everybody's got to tighten their belts. Why don't people across the country understand that?
Well, I believe that we believe it when it serves our political purpose. You know, we get very, and I see it daily, where people get so polarized. And I honestly feel like, for me, when I listen to, you know, and this is what I do all day long, you know, I really feel like our political leaders in Washington are doing a great disservice, you know, by telling us what we want to hear. I believe more important, like, once again, if it were me, I wouldn't have, I would have said, sorry, you know, we can't afford tax cuts for anyone. This is the problem. You know, you see what's happening in Greece, that scares you. You see what's happening in Ireland, that scares you. Well, you need to think about, that's where, I mean, I know it's hard for people to hear, but our deficit has taken us down that same path.
Oh, there's no question.
So everyone keeps saying that we got to make the tough decisions. You hear that from the right and left. We got to make some tough choices. We got to have an adult conversation. We got to make a tough decision, but not the decision that we want to make. You know, we got to make a tough decision when it's your political agenda. We got to make decisions on that, but we don't want to make it on ours. You know, our spending is okay. Yours is not, and it's. It's unfortunate because I think the American people are led the wrong way and misinformed because nobody wants to stand up and say we've got a problem.
I think the problem with the media right now, you know, is the fact that the American public, for the most part, simply doesn't understand that when you do not have the money to pay for something, continuing to create money to pay for something is absolutely wrong economically, financially, and morally. And a lot of people don't realize that. Tell us a little bit about what you're recommending the folks who utilize Atom Mesh Trading. What are you recommending that they do to protect themselves against this train wreck that's right around the corner?
Well, what I encourage everyone to start looking at is their own personal financial situation. There's a lot of things that you can do that maybe don't have a lot to do with the markets. But I mean, and then there are the things that, are. I think that when you look at taking care of your own debt issues, taking care of your own self-preservation is first and foremost. You know, if we continue to have job problems, if we continue to have interest rate problems, you can insulate yourself from these things by not putting yourself in front of that train. So that's the first thing when these topics come up. And then, of course, the topic switches to the market. Very common belief is the idea that commodities are the place to be. Now, however, I do believe that to be true long term. I think the trajectory is definitely up, especially if the U.S. dollar continues to have, you know, problems or skepticism about maintaining its, you know, reserve currency status. But I don't know that it's the most opportune time to enter those when you're at these historic highs. So I think that could be a great play after a correction of some kind. I look at that. Most of the people we coach do take control of their own finances, and most of those people are in ETFs, they're in stocks. And so the number one thing we recommend everyone to do is, hey, we got a nice little gravy train going in the market, but don't get complacent. Stop losses are the simplest, easiest thing you can do to make sure you don't wake up one day down 20%.
Hey, you know what? I'm with you 1,000%. That's exactly what Kathy and I are doing. The concept of being totally out of debt, we took care of that a while back. The concept of realizing that the market right now is a pretty good place to be, but you have to take the advice of folks like Christian Tharp, and you got to put stop losses in there, because when this thing breaks, and it's the dam is going to break, when it happens, I tell you, Katie, bar the door, because it's going to be absolutely one of the toughest times that we've ever experienced. Okay, been chatting with Christian Tharp, really good guy, very bright guy, Atom Mesh Trading Group. Check them out, get more information. They encourage you to take control of your own destiny, and Big Al's been saying that for the last 10 or 15 years. Stick around, I'm going to be right back with Roger Wiegand.
Al
Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
When making important financial decisions, you should always know the facts. That's why Midas Resources is willing to pay you to read the facts. Midas Resources, a team of hand-picked financial specialists with decades of financial experience who are ready to provide you with state-of-the-art, up-to-date financial services. Midas Resources offers a host of services and stands behind their products. In fact, if you call and order their free Midas report, Midas Resources will pay you. This detailed report will provide you with financial history on the safest and most profitable areas to invest in. If you read the report, Midas Resources will send you a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar. So what are you waiting for? Get the facts and call Midas Resources toll free at 888-292-2709. That's 888-292-2709. And remember, if you read the Midas report, you'll receive a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar.
What if you could enjoy a refreshing cigarette without worrying about your health? Great news! Now you can enjoy everything you love about a cigarette without everything you hate. It's called the VaporMate e-cig, and it's made by Smokeaway, so you know it's good. VaporMate utilizes patented microelectronic technology that mixes rich tobacco flavor with harmless water vapor. It tastes like a cigarette, smokes like a cigarette, and best of all, it calms you down like a cigarette should. And if you call in the next 30 minutes, we'll give you your VaporMate e-cig kit valued at $129 free. No more secondhand smoke, smelly clothes, hacking and coughing. Just the great flavor and calming sensation of a real cigarette you can smoke anywhere. Claim your VaporMate when you get your tobacco flavored filters free. A $129 value, yours free. Imagine the money you'll save each month. But you must call now.
Call 800-540-7570. That's 800-540-7570. Again, 1-800-540-7570.
Attention, an important product from HempUSA.org, microplant powder, will change your life by removing all types of positive toxins, such as heavy metals, parasites, bacteria, viruses, and fungus from the digestive tract and stomach wall so you can absorb nutrients. Microplant powder is 89% silica and packed with a negative charge that attracts positive toxins from the blood, organs, spine, and brain. This product has the ability to rebuild cartilage and bone, which allows synovial fluid to return to the joints. Silica is a precursor to calcium, meaning the body turns silica into calcium and is great for the heart. There is no better time than now to have microplant powder on your shelf or in your storage shelter. And with an unlimited shelf life, you can store it anywhere. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. It's a great way to change your life. So call 908-691-2608 or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Calling all manufacturers from across the United States. Are you eager to have people buy your products right here at home instead of having them buy competing products made on the other side of the world? Do you want to build your business while helping boost our nation's economy at the same time? Then localmakers.com is the website for you. Our site provides an easy way for manufacturers to connect with customers within their local community as well as across the United States. From the small manufacturer who works out of their home to the large manufacturers across the U.S., localmakers.com connects customers to the closest manufacturer by simply entering their zip code. So if you make your own goods and want to expand your market, go to localmakers.com and put your products on one of our shelves. If you're not a local manufacturer but know someone who is, take advantage of the localmakers.com referral program and earn income by getting others to join. Simply go to localmakers.com and register. There's no cost to join. That's localmakers.com. Visit localmakers.com today.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. You're continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the Cornelin Economics Report tonight. Cornelin, appreciate you joining me. Chatting right now with Roger Wiegen. Roger has a great newsletter called Trader Tracks. Roger is also a daily contributor to our show, doing a daily editorial and also doing a daily market close, and he's doing a great job. We've got some interesting situations over in Europe right now. The one that I'm finding to be very, very interesting that Roger is very up to speed on is what's going on in Germany vis-a-vis the German support of the euro. What exactly is happening over there right now, Roger, and what are the implications for the European economy?
Well, to set the background, Germany is the number one economy in Europe. 40% of exports in Europe come from Germany. They are big on cars and heavy manufacturing, and they're in the best shape as far as their debt is concerned and as far as their income is concerned for the country.
Mm-hmm.
Probably they've got unemployment problems too, but generally Germany is pretty strong and in pretty good shape. Now, when all these debt problems began with Greece and started to spread, being a member of the European Central Bank and the euro currency, Germany was called upon to step up to the plate with some backing and some credit to help out all these people that are having so many problems. Initially, the Obama administration, in fact, in a visit to Europe with the G20, I believe, they were pushing hard on Germany to spend a lot of credit and money to help everybody and keep them afloat. Angela Merkel, the prime minister, the chancellor of Germany, said that she didn't want to do that. She was more for austerity, as the UK is, which is just the opposite of the way America and the Obama plan is going. So what's happened now? We got debt-plagued euro nations that are spreading. Today, Moody's downgraded Spain. That's a big deal. Spain is a lot bigger than Portugal and some of the others combined. Also this week, Ireland caved in, and they had to go to a bailout. There's only 5 million people there, and they were the top economy in Europe, even above Germany. Well, what's happened is the banks from Europe and the bankers in Ireland messed up the credit system in that country and basically turn everything upside down overnight, forcing them to take a big bailout. Now what we're seeing is Mrs. Merkel would like to stop financing all these debt-plagued nations, but yet her finance minister, Wolfgang Schnabel, said yesterday that under all circumstances, they are going to defend the euro to the last man standing. So you've got really a divisive situation within the German nation itself, in that the finance group, the central bankers, want to keep pouring out the credit to all these people. And Mrs. Merkel says, we don't want to be the paymaster of Europe. It's not right to empty the treasury in Germany to save all these people that are in serious trouble. Now, she is ruling out an increase in the euro area's emergency fund. They want to step it up to 750 billion euros, which is $1 trillion. And yesterday, Germany put the spotlight on the European Central Bank by endorsing a possible boost in capital, yet Mrs. Merkel is totally against it. So this is getting to be really interesting. Our listeners should be aware of one thing. The economy in Euroland and the euro is 850 million people, and in the United States, it's 330 million. So you can understand what a big deal this is.
I mean, it is. There's no question about that. But what are the implications of the downgrade by Moody's of Spain?
Well, Spain, Moody's did step up to the bar immediately when they downgraded, and they said, well, their credit's not as good as it was, but they're not in any serious trouble. The problems they've got with credit are manageable within Spain itself. But yet outsiders who look at these things are saying, Spain's problems go deeper than they're advertised. So these market tensions in bonds are resurfacing everywhere, and generally the bond market throughout the world, not only in Asia and Europe and America, but other places, is getting pretty scary.
So you're basically saying that economic conditions continue to deteriorate on an international level, taking a few major economies out of the equation, though. And the major economies, in my mind, would be India, number one. Number two, mainland China, okay? I think those two economies are doing just fine. But you're saying basically the rest of the world, you made a comment about Ireland, Spain, et cetera, continue to be in trouble. Is that correct?
That's true, but you've got to include in the ones that are doing better, Canada.
Yeah.
Canada's really in pretty good shape, but we also got word today that there's a lot of empty trucks coming from Canada to the U.S. because Canadian exports to the United States have fallen to a level where they haven't been since 1982, I think, or 1941. It's way back from where it was. Consequently, there's empty trucks coming back from the U.S. to Canada, and the trucking companies are going to have to pay for a round trip when it's a one-way trip.
Yeah, interesting situation. You know, we're seeing some things right now that, you know, they continue to paint a fairly bleak picture, although I have to say some numbers came out on Thursday, Roger, that that kind of make me think that, well, maybe things are turning around a little bit. For example, the unemployment numbers, they tightened up a little bit this past week. Housing starts got a little better this week in terms of people spending money in the retail sector. Those numbers got a little bit better this week. So maybe the world isn't going to end tomorrow, huh?
Well, it's not going to end tomorrow, but I think we've got one of these Japanese-style long, slow slog sink-in-the-mud deals where it's going to grind on for a long time. Now, I think the testing period, Al, is going to be in next year, 2011 and 2012. Projections show from several of our friends who are very good at this stuff, particularly John Williams' numbers, which I just saw this past week. Mm-hmm. They're indicating that the worst of the worst is probably going to hit over the next 2-3 years. Mm-hmm. And if we, in fact, can get past that, we will find a new base or a bottom and then turn around and start to come up. Now, the three sectors that you mentioned, retail, housing, and the other one, the job thing, all those numbers, in my view, are suspect. But, you know, they are what they are.
Yeah, they are what they are. Roger, like your comments, if you would, on the situation that's going back in Washington, D.C. with the tax bill.
Well, the tax bill is along with the budget bill and several other things were dumped on the desk of the Senate and the Congress in general to try to push through a lot of things that the Democrats wanted, forcing them through on a very short timeline. I think that the tax bill, it will in fact pass this year, so they say, but there's still a small chance that it won't. And it's my contention if that bill isn't passed before the 31st of December, stock market is going to sell off prior to probably 5 or 10%, and then there's going to be some real fights coming up in January to try to get all this political stuff squared away. The tensions are rising right now, both in the Senate and in the House.
Yep.
And it's going to be very interesting, to say the least.
It's going to be very interesting. I have to say, though, it just my personal opinion is this is an example in my mind of both sides of the aisle working together. It's an example of the president willing to compromise on an issue. And I got to tell you, I am glad to see it. No question about that. Stick around, you guys. Big Al's going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Men, take control of your prostate health without the risk of nasty side effects with Prostate Secure. Early detection, regular prostate exams, and PSA tests are a must for men over 40. Listen, if you have symptoms of an enlarged prostate but don't want to take a drug with possible nasty side effects, or if you're over 40, then use Prostate Secure, a natural dietary supplement for men. Prostate Secure is a scientifically formulated blend of clinically significant amounts of natural ingredients. It brings together the most powerful plant sterols like beta-sitosterol and saw palmetto, along with antioxidants such as vitamin D3, resveratrol, and lycopene to support good prostate health, proper urinary flow, function, and more. Check out ProstateSecure.com. Order online and save 10% with promo code SAVE10 or call 1-800-239-9432. That's 800-239-9432. Or visit ProstateSecure.com. Take control of your prostate health naturally with Prostate Secure.
Question. What would you rather drink? Acidic water, which burns holes in your body and causes loss of bone mass? Or alkaline water, which promotes high energy and vibrant health? The answer is clear. And if you're drinking acidic water, you're helping cancer cells and bacteria to grow out of control. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using Plasma pH Drops is the best way to alkalize your water and help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy alkaline level. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, or cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-409-1776. Again, 269-409-1776.
This is not a drill.
Repeat.
This is not a drill.
Gun sales are on a staggering pace.
Gun prices are going through the roof, and that means desperate, vicious criminals
now want your guns
and will do anything to get them.
Now, a new book reveals powerful secrets for hiding your guns from thieves and looters.
You'll learn step-by-step, battle-hardened techniques,
where to hide your guns so criminals will never find them,
how to create the perfect hiding place,
as well as the places you should never hide your guns
under any circumstance.
These and other closely guarded gun-caching secrets are guaranteed to keep your weapons safe and out of sight when the going gets tough.
But listen up.
For security reasons, the Hide Your Guns book and even the website may disappear without warning at any time. Go to hideyourguns.com.
That's hideyourguns.com.
Or call 877-327-0365.
Before they come for your guns.
Hideyourguns.com right now.
Right now.
Right now.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com. Or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. You know, you got to admit, Roger Wiegand is a very, very interesting guy. You know, I want to really strongly recommend that you listen to his daily editorial, which we put up on our site every day. I know more and more of you are listening to that. Roger's insights, whether you agree or disagree, are very, very interesting. You know, he's a very, very well thought out individual. He spends, I got to tell you, the guy probably spends 16 hours a day or more going over all the stuff that he talks about. So it's worth your time to listen to it. Okay. Somebody else who is getting to be a regular guest on our program, Don Swenson, is with me right now. Don has a blog called Kingdom Economics. He puts a missive out almost every single day. Don is very, very opinionated when it comes to hard money issues, and I have to say that I, too, am very opinionated, and to a very large extent, I agree with everything that Don is saying. You know, I did a daily show earlier this week with Axel Merck, who is really is truly a currency expert, one of the best in the world, in my opinion, and Axel was talking about how people need to diversify out of a single currency and you know, be invested in various currencies. And on the surface, I would agree with that. Don sent me back an email and said, you know, I really have to disagree to a very large extent with some of that premise. And he began to extol the virtues of, well, you know what, rather than me tell you what he said, I'm going to let you, Don, tell our listeners what you said. You're on, buddy.
Okay, Al. Well, yeah, basically,
you know, I've listened to Alex Merck a number of times, and he's very good on currencies. My feeling is all these currencies right now are in a state of collapse, and I think you agree with that. I mean, they're fiat currencies. They're basically created by political institutions, and they are not stable. And for you and I to put and diversify our assets into currencies, I don't think is the direction we should really be going in, because what we really want to do is we want to put our assets into what I call wealth, something basically that has a store of value.
Tangible.
Tangible, exactly. Now, wealth is tangible. It's basically something that comes from the land. It's like the mining companies which you promote. You know, they're basically mining for gold, mining for silver, mining for base metals. All these are items that can be then turned into raw materials and eventually manufactured goods, and this is wealth. And the currencies are nothing more than artificial. I call them imaginary because basically they're just created, and we use them to value all these items that we call wealth.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm a valuation expert. I'm looking right now at a shopping center, beautiful building right here in Arizona. Well, that building basically is wealth, but the value of that building is artificial. I can value that in any currency in all different types of ways. Is that wealth, the valuation of a building? I would say no.
Yeah.
You know, the building, the asset is what is wealth, just like a gold coin is wealth, because you and I have possession and control of that. But is the value of that gold coin wealth?
I have that.
You understand what I mean?
Yeah,
we value a gold coin in terms of dollars, or we can value it in terms of yuan, or in terms of rubies, or in terms of franc, pesos, what have you. All these different currencies we use to value that gold coin, and it has all these different values. But it's the gold coin that's the wealth.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. We ought to diversify into when we have collapsing fiat currencies all around the world. And this was my basic impression when I was listening to Alex, is he is more into having you diversify into other fiat currencies.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is okay to a certain extent. But if you really want to store a value, if you really want to save some of your assets into something that you have control over, you want to put it into real wealth, mm-hmm. hard assets.
You know, I think I would agree with that. We're going to continue with this subject in the next segment with James Turk, who is a frequent guest on our program and someone who I know both you and I really respect.
Right.
It'll be interesting to see what his views are. I think I know the direction he's going to go in. But, I guess the one question I would have is, from a theoretical standpoint, you are 100% correct. Okay. And from a practical standpoint, one could say you are correct. However, practicality kind of jumps away from custom, for lack of better terms. And the custom right now throughout the world is to trade, for lack of better terms, in fiat currencies. Now, fiat currencies, you and I wholeheartedly agree on the fact that they are not a store of value. They're nothing. They really have no value. The U.S. dollar basically has no value other than psychological value. Okay, but it is what it is. It is the way that we conduct commerce right now.
I agree, Al.
Huh?
Let me just follow up with that and say we can always convert a unit of wealth like a gold coin or a silver coin or a car that's free and clear into the currency of the realm for whatever we need.
Yeah.
So I agree with you that the legal tender that we use is the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to convert a real asset into dollars in order to spend it on goods and services that we buy.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. But what you're saying is if the world were a perfect place, and I would agree with you here, rather than have an unlimited money supply, and anybody who says the money supply in the United States is not unlimited, they need to have their head examined. It's totally unlimited right now. Okay.
Right.
It's that particular structure is what is really, really wrong, because economies cannot continue indefinitely based on smoke and mirrors.
Exactly. And if I had time, Al, I'd like to sometime take you back to the history of how our dollar got started, because I worked with a couple of great economists back in the 70s, Don Kemmerer of the University of Illinois, the head economist there, and Carl Wiegand from Southern Illinois University. These two economists were monetarist economists that had studied the history of our dollar all the way back. And they pointed out to me something that's very significant, and that is that the dollar has to be tied to something in nature in order for it to have psychological meaning.
Of course
it does. You just can't have a name like we've got today and a number as money and really have any meaning to it. This is why our dollar was defined in terms of silver.
Let me ask you a question. You know, my buddy Jay Taylor, who also does a great radio program on Voice America, which is an internet network, Jay, a number of years ago, and I were having this similar discussion, and he said, Al, where I really got interested in gold is, he said, I had a college professor who told me, who I learned a lot of economics from, and this guy said there's a interesting and direct correlation between the nature of a country's currency and moral values. This guy said, you know, when fiat currencies come into an existence in an economy, that's about the same time that moral values have a tendency to go by the wayside, so to speak. What are your comments? Got a minute left here. I know that's too short. We'll continue this later, but what are your comments?
I totally agree, Al. You have, to me, when you have basically an authority like the Federal Reserve and the central banks artificially just creating fiat currencies, that distorts the valuation of all goods and services in the marketplace, and it makes everything just meaningless, basically, over time. And that's why fiat currencies don't last, and that's why moral values tend to go along with that decline in the substance of the monetary unit.
Could not agree more, Don. Hey, listen, I want to suggest to you folks, I really take out that word suggest. Let's make it stress. Read some of the stuff that Don writes. Go to www.kingdomeconomics.com, or more importantly, just drop me an email, and you know how to get hold of me, al@kereport.com. I'll put you in touch with how to read this stuff. It's free. There's no charge. Nobody's selling anything to you. It's just damn interesting stuff. Okay, Big Al's going to be right back with James Turk.
If the cost of your prescriptions are getting out of control, you want to listen carefully to this. RxDrugCard.com is a simple, innovative program designed to give individuals the same purchasing power as large HMOs and insurance companies. As a member of RxDrugCard.com, you'll enjoy savings of up to 80% on all prescription medications at over 52,000 USA pharmacies, including Walmart, Walgreens, and Eckerd's. Don't risk ruining your health by using cheap, counterfeit, foreign drugs. This program provides savings on safe, genuine, FDA-approved medications with low membership fees, unlimited use, no age or income requirements, and coverage for all pre-existing conditions. RxDrugCard.com is an absolute must for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. Enroll today for as little as $4.50 per month at www.RxDrugCard.com and start saving immediately. RxDrugCard.com is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit RxDrugCard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
I'm concerned about food for my family in the event of an emergency, and I know you are too. Are you ready? Don't wait for an emergency to happen. Put a plan together now with quality dehydrated food from Ready Reserve Foods. For nearly 40 years, Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, canning the finest in dehydrated foods. Other companies just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, controlling quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packing for maximum shelf life. Ready Reserve offers a balanced selection of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, proteins, and grains. Choose from a variety of pre-selected units or order by individual can to customize your own plan. When you purchase from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Call today for a free catalog, 1-800-453-2202, or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Call 1-800-453-2202. Ready Reserve Foods. Factory direct, wholesale pricing.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for three decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Are you tired of police, judges, and bureaucrats using traffic tickets and other regulatory traps to trick you out of your hard-earned money? Are you sick of fraudulent bankers rigging mortgages and using the foreclosure process to steal your home? You need to visit bestfreedomtools.com. Act now to get an amazing free catalog and free DVD packed with vital information to give you the upper hand against these so-called authorities. You will learn how to overcome all traffic fines, how to stop judges in their tracks, and how to effectively combat penalty notices of all kinds without paying a penny. All the information you need to regain your health, wealth, and power is yours at bestfreedomtools.com. To get your free catalog and free DVD, call 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. Or visit bestfreedomtools.com now for your free catalog and free DVD. bestfreedomtools.com, giving you the information you need today.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Okay, here to wrap up the first hour of the Cornerland Economics Report. Weekend edition, heard on all of these Genesis radio stations. I'm chatting with James Turk. James, as you all know, is a regular guest on the program, and I consider him to be the foremost authority when it comes to gold-related issues, really in the world. I don't mean to be dramatic, but this guy is very, very bright, in my opinion. James, I have a question for you. There are a lot of things going on right now around the world that I think have a direct bearing on the fact that the price of gold, this past week anyway, went down just a skosh. Didn't go down a lot, but the direction was, for the most part, downward. Okay, I think that part of the reason that happened is towards the end of the week, some numbers came out in the United States, reported specifically Thursday on Bloomberg, where housing starts were getting better, the unemployment numbers were getting better, retail sales, i.e. consumer spending, was getting better. Maybe some people are thinking, well, you know what? Maybe the tide has changed. Maybe the U.S. is getting back, in a direction of getting stronger again. And I think that would have a negative impact on the price of gold. What are your thoughts there on that?
Well, a couple things. First of all, there probably has been some improvement in economic activity. You know, we see, for example, revenue in the government increasing slightly. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, unemployment. You know, we just reported a big jump in unemployment. So, and at the end of the day, unemployment is, in my mind, the most important part of economic activity, because if people aren't working, that means there's going to be less commerce conducted and less economic activity.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a more important factor. So, you know, aside from the fact that the economy, in my mind, is still, you know, trying to get some momentum, but is having a hard time doing it. And the more important factor is, you know, what Mr. Bernanke, the head of the Federal Reserve, has been telling us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's been telling us that he wants to create some inflation. And, you know, anybody who remembers the 1970s
or has heard the stories from their parents or grandparents.
Wait a minute. We're not. Come on, James. We're not that old, buddy.
Yeah, we're dating ourselves, huh?
Yeah.
But inflation is not good for the dollar, and inflation is very good for the gold price. So, you know, this little dip that we've had over the past few days, in my mind, is really of no consequence. You know, we made a new record high just the week before last. So we had a little bit of a reaction. It's not a big deal.
Not a big deal. Let's talk a little bit about the potential impact that, could occur over in Europe. And that is, you know, you've got the finance minister and Mrs. Merkel over in Germany kind of at odds with each other as to how much support the Germans could or should, I guess is a better way to put it, provide the euro. Germany is, without a doubt, the strongest economy in Europe. I think that that perhaps discussion is causing a certain amount of trepidation on the part of investors. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree wholeheartedly. And, you know, the discussions between the two of them, the chancellor and the finance minister, is, I think, actually representative of what's actually happening in the country. You know, there's a lot of debate there as to whether or not they should continue bailing out the insolvent, over-debted fringe countries in Europe. And there's a lot of resentment to doing that, and rightly so. It's like saying to, Arizona, you got to bail out California.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people in Arizona are going to say, well, why should we pay more taxes to bail out the profligate spending of the Californians? So, you know, I think it's really symptomatic of the bigger issue that they're trying to address and deal with. Also, the two politicians themselves come from two different schools.
Sure.
Finance minister has been in German government for many, many years and was a very close advisor to Helmut Kohl, who was the chancellor that actually brought about the monetary union and forced Germany into accepting the euro.
Right.
And Merkel, on the other hand, is much more pragmatic and I think more sensitive to political winds, which way they're blowing, and probably rightly so, because, you know, she's taken some big losses in regional elections recently,
mm-hmm.
and there's some concern as to whether or not her coalition will hold together. So is it possible that Germany could pull out of the euro? Yes, I think it is possible. And I think next year we're probably going to see more tensions, and I would not be surprised to see Germany go that way.
You wouldn't. What impact, if any, James, do you think that would have on the price of gold?
You know, I think it probably would be bullish.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be bullish in Germany because if they create the Deutsche Mark, it would probably go to a premium.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the buying that's been coming out of Germany recently because of the uncertainties related to the euro, that might disappear. But what it would do is it would create demand for gold in some of the other European countries, as well as other parts of the world who started to recognize that if the euro breaks up, does that mean the European Union is going to break up? And, you know, what would the implications of that in terms of, you know, monetary aspects? So, but, you know, these things, you know, occur in a bull market. You know, it's the saying is you have to climb walls of worry.
Yeah.
And the more important factor in my mind is whether gold is still good value or not. And regardless of how you measure it, you know, which currency of the world you measure the price of gold in, it still is good value. And as a consequence, I just see this as just more things that we have to factor in this bull market as, you know, gold continues marching higher, which I expect it to do.
You know, I got a friend by the name of Don Swenson, and Don is teaches economics, and he is very, very into the hard money camp. Has a great blog called Kingdom Economics, and just generally a very, very interesting guy. And he took issue with something that one of my guests said on a daily show that I did this past week. Specifically, the guest was Axel Merck, and Axel was talking about the validity of diversifying your holdings, your currency holdings. You know, not just having all of your money in the U.S. dollar, but also having a certain amount of it in the yuan, you know, in other areas. And it's funny, Don listened to that and said something that I thought was really interesting to me. And he said that he doesn't understand why anybody would have any holdings in currencies of any kind, because currencies really do not, I mean, they represent money, but they're not money in a very real physical sense, whereas gold and silver are. I don't know. Do you think people should, I mean, what Don is implying is that people should put basically the majority of their capital in hard assets as opposed to currencies. How do you feel about that one?
Well, that's basically what I've been recommending. And
yeah,
here's the issue as I see it. If you are earning 8 or 9% on your bank deposit, you know, with your dollar deposit,
mm-hmm,
well, you'd have to think twice before you put money into gold or silver.
Yeah.
But the fact that you can't earn anything on a bank deposit, not just in dollars, but, you know, euros or any other currency, because mm-hmm, all central banks are essentially following this zero interest rate policy.
Yeah.
Why hold a currency and take all that risk if you're not compensated for doing so? So, you know, in this environment, I tend to think that you should keep the, you know, good chunk of your liquidity, if not the, you know, the bulk of it,
mm-hmm,
in precious metals. And then if you need to access that liquidity, you sell your precious metals in exchange for the currency that you need to spend, you know, for the particular need that has arisen.
Yeah.
I still see a lot of risk in all of the currencies.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to take that risk, you have to be compensated for it with a higher interest income, from higher interest rates. And that's what Paul Volcker did when he went into the Federal Reserve to stop inflation back in the 1970s. He kept raising interest rates, convinced the market that they should be holding dollars instead of tangible assets, and eventually the market turned. But, you know, here we're at the exact opposite of what Volcker was doing.
Pretty interesting situation, to say the least. One last question, if this may sound like it's off the subject, but I really don't think it is. I think all of this stuff is tied in together. I thought the President of the United States showed some real courage in willing to compromise with the Republicans, for lack of better terms, on the tax issue. And I think it's absolutely amazing that the Speaker Pelosi and Harry Reid really tried to stonewall the president's action. In my mind, I think President Obama really, really showed some guts and a real concept of reality when he agreed to side with the Republicans on the tax issue. What are your comments, real quick, James?
I don't really have any strong views on that one way or the other. You know, I really don't see much guts in Washington. What we really should be doing is what Ron Paul is doing, you know, going back to constitutional money, getting rid of the Federal Reserve. You know, in my book, you know, Ron Paul is the one who's really showing all of the guts.
Well, I agree 100%. Jeff Dice, his chief of staff, was on the show earlier in the week, and we chatted about that. I think the fact that Ron is going to be chairing the subcommittee that is going to be investigating the Fed, boy, I think that is a major, major event. Final comments?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. You know, I hope that's going to be used as an opportunity for the American people to educate themselves about the way the system really works and what constitutional money is and why we don't have a constitutional monetary system in the United States today.
Well, it's going to be interesting because I think it's really, really going to bring the concept of the Federal Reserve to light. And I think that the average American, if they even choose to read their newspapers, are going to have a real awakening. James, thanks so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Al.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNlive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.